Thank you, Ken, for the music this morning, and thank you that you have joined in to this live stream service. Would you please bow with me as we pray? Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for, Lord, just being that present help to us in times of trouble. Thank you today, Lord, that we have a Savior we can turn to, that we have a Bible we can look to. We have the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. And today, in the midst of such disturbing times, God, we pause to reflect upon what your word has to teach us, what your word has to say to each one of us today. And Father, for the many that will be listening, I pray for your blessings upon their lives, upon their families. And I pray today that you would touch someone somewhere, Father, that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, and that they would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, we praise you, we thank you, we love you, we adore you, we magnify you, Holy God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to speak on the subject of days of uncertainty. The Apostle Paul was writing to his young friend in the faith, and in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verses 1 through 9, we find him speaking words of admonition as well as words to warn Timothy about uncertain days that were sure to come. In our text for this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, I want to share this before we get into some of the details of it. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such turn away. And then he says, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Listening to all kinds of news reports, the news media, as we in past days have listened to various scientists speak, we have heard all kinds of medical research professionals, doctors, nurses, laymen, healthcare workers, all of these, as well as we've listened to personal testimonies of families and individuals that have fallen victims to the coronavirus, I couldn't help but turn my attention to this passage in God's Word about what it has to say to you and me in days of uncertainty. I've read all kinds of articles in recent days about different churches, different evangelical people, preachers, just people in general who are wondering what in the world is going on, what in the world is happening to us all over the world in these past 6 weeks. Well, I believe that as we look at this passage today, we will discover many of the things that are taking place in the world that we live in. In fact, the Bible speaks about birth pangs that will be taking place in the last days. But there are three things this morning from verses 1 through 5 that I particularly want to look at this morning. I want to zoom in on those. I sort of want to unpack those verses for us and speak about, number one, days that define us. Days that define us. I'm reminded what Jesus had to say in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 to 39. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. With all that's happened in our lives in recent days, I know it's caused many people in the world to take note that there is something that's very different, something that's very strange, very ominous to most of us about this particular time in the world and in world history. In fact, I've had several people ask, what do you think all of this means? Pastor, what do you think is going on in the world today? Well, my first initial answer has always been and always will be that I never try to presume upon the mind of Almighty God about some things that take place in the world, because I know that God's ways are above our ways and God's thoughts are above our thoughts. And there's just some things that a lot of people presume upon the mind of God, and yet I'm very cautious about doing that. But there is one thing that I am very confidently certain about, and that this particular pestilence, this virus that has invaded our world, that's invaded our space, I'm confident of this one fact, that God will take these days and God will use these days for His glory. Now, I do believe with all of my heart that as we ponder these scriptures this morning, I believe that you and I can say beyond a shadow of any doubt that we have a sovereign God who rules over all. I know that He knows what's happening in the world this morning. I know that there's absolutely nothing that takes God by surprise. I know there's nothing that escapes His notice. But I'm confident of the fact that when the Apostle Paul penned these words to Timothy, Paul understood the spiritual, he understood the social climate and the culture of the times that he was writing. Paul told Timothy there were perilous times that were coming. In the social climate and the social culture of our day, perilous times are certainly upon us, I believe. Those have to do with difficulty. When you think of perilous times, those are times of difficulty. Those are times that are troublesome. Those are times that are trying. They're times that would find all of us very uneasy. They're times that really become threatening to our lives. They are dangerous times. And while these characteristics have been true in past days, and certainly characteristics that have been true since the beginning of time, but I think what you and I are seeing in our world today is the great intensity of these things that are present. In fact, nations all over the world are in trouble. Nations are certainly in perplexity this morning. We see economies that are collapsing. We see oil prices that have plummeted in past days. I read just this past week where the European banking system is on the brink of collapse. I read an article this week, credit card debt is soaring and people cannot pay their payments. Bankruptcies are escalating. companies that are having to close, layoffs in the job market, home foreclosures that are going to be forthcoming, shortages of food. In fact, that is certainly something that is of major concern when many of the packing plants or some of the major ones that have had to close because of this pestilence that has attacked us. Shortages of food, shortages of jobs, the national debt that is escalating out of control at an all-time high, college student loans that cannot be paid back, people having been quarantined and working from their homes, masks and gloves are being encouraged, as well as sanitizers and handshaking, which has always been so much a part of our lives and a part of our culture, has dissipated into virtually no handshaking at all. Schools having to close and teachers having to teach online and colleges being suspended and universities and now with online classes. I believe that each one of us could say today with certainty that these truly are defining days of which you and I have never experienced in our lifetime. I know that the world will be in some fashion like what our world is experiencing right now before Jesus comes again one of these days to take his church out of the world. I can only imagine as we see some of these things that are happening right now. I believe that some of these are birth pains that we will see happen in the latter days of the latter days. Paul, he lists some activities here in verses 1 through 5 that not only defined his culture, his society, but it defines the culture that you and I are living in this morning. When I think about in some of the states who wouldn't allow certain things, but they allowed other things, when essentials in one state became things like abortions, liquor stores, lottery tickets, but a non-essential was that people couldn't drive into a church parking lot and to listen on the radio or to hear a pastor on a loudspeaker or a megaphone trying to give the word of God without those people being, they were fined some $1,000 a car. There's something the matter with that kind of a picture. And when I heard that, I thought about how our Christianity has been, is being, and will be challenged in the days ahead. Just as those first century Christians dealt with it during the culture of their day. In fact, Christians today are considered oftentimes being intolerant. You know, when we speak about that all roads don't lead to heaven, when we speak about that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me, a lot of people look at us and say we're being intolerant. No, we're not being intolerant. We're just saying we love you enough that we believe, according to God's word, that God wants us to tell you the way to go to heaven. You see, in our world today, we're being challenged about our intolerance. We're considered bigoted. We're often looked at as being narrow-minded or being antisocial and even being labeled as dangerous. Well, the Bible says that the days are coming when good is considered evil and evil is considered good. And certainly in these days, we see this definition being carried out. You see, the condition of humanity and society in the last days, I believe, is proof that man left to himself will ruin everything that he touches. I mean, if you look all over the world this morning, societies are crumbling. Social climate is decaying. The world is not getting better, and people are not getting better, and man grows more wicked all the time. And not only will that be the culture of the last of the last days, but it is the culture in our present day as it has been in past days. Throughout the world, we're going to see these things until Jesus comes again to rule and reign in righteousness. In fact, Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians in verse 22. He said that you put off concerning your form of conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And then in the book of Daniel chapter 12 and verse 10, many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Let me tell you, I do believe these are days that defines us. What happens after this pandemic sort of passes, not necessarily off the scene, but sort of stays hidden for a while? Well, I think at this juncture, we can only speculate what might happen. But when you think about this pandemic that has disrupted every dimension of our lives, from the closing of schools and businesses to threatening where people cannot go to the hospitals and be with their loved ones that are sick, and those who have lost loved ones are so isolated from their friends and cannot even begin to put any kind of closure to the death of their loved one because of the services they could have had in past days that have not been a part of our present days. You see, these are days that define us, as many families have stayed home during this work time. I am sure that there have been much that all of us have thought about, looked at, considered. What we think are important things in life really pale into insignificance whenever you think about these defining days that you and I have been going through. I don't know that people will ever look at life the same. At least I hope that we will not be self-focused. I hope that we will not be focused on the materialism in this world. When I think about people all over the world and how that the stock market and all of these things have certainly tainted people's outlook on the future of how will we live, how will we survive, what will we do. You know, the only consolation that I have in the midst of all of that this morning is this. If you know Jesus, Jesus knows you, Jesus loves you, Jesus cares for you. Jesus will not forsake you. Jesus will keep you in his care and keeping. We've just got to be focused with our faith intact on the most important thing and to redefine many of our days and to re-look at our faith and how very important our faith is, how very important our churches are, how very important our friends are, how very important our families are, but how very, very important our faith is. Because you see, when everything else is stripped away from us in life, let me tell you, if you don't have your faith in Jesus Christ, let me tell you, you would be of all men most miserable. Let me tell you this morning, the most important thing, I think, as we look at days that define us, is to think how we will view the future, how we will view what really matters most in life. And what really matters most in life is that you and I love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and to reach out and to try to leave footprints on the sands of time. And the best way you and I can do that is to tell people about Jesus. God loves people more than anything. If that were not true, he would never have left heaven's glory to robe himself in the incarnation of human flesh of Jesus Christ and to come to this earth and to die for our sins so that you and I might live eternally with the risen Christ forever and ever. The thing that defines us in the past, hopefully in the days to come, we will have a redefinition of what defines us in the days ahead. Secondly, in our text for this morning, not only days that define us, but days that distress us. Paul goes on and he tells Timothy in verses 2-5, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then in verse 5, he says, people having a form of godliness but denying its power. And Paul says to Timothy, from such people, turn away. Notice the admonition that he gives him, the warning that he gives him. And Paul is describing to Timothy the kind of behavior that will be exhibited, not only in his day, but in the intensity and the escalation of it throughout human history to our present day. He tells us how people will think, how they will act, how they will live, and what will be important to them. I have no doubt in the days to come, there will be many people all over the world that I think will redefine what life truly is all about. But I also think that there will be the majority of people that will not redefine their days, but they will just continue as it was in the days of Noah. Well, I want to unpack these 18 things that Paul said to Timothy, lovers of themselves. You know, we live in a very selfish society. We live in a society that is bent on one's own interest. Paul was writing to the church of Philippi in chapter 2 and verse 3. He said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. In other words, don't be obsessed in getting your own way, your own advantage. When love of self is elevated, the love of God and the love for other things and others is lowered. So he speaks about in those last days, they'll be lovers of themselves. Secondly, he says they will be covetous. That's wanting what somebody else has. We are a society, I believe, of discontent. Either that or the pressures of the culture cause us to be covetous of wanting what others have. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5, the writer says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In fact, Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. And he said, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In 1 John chapter 2 verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let me tell you, if you and I love the things of this world more than we love the things of God, then our focus is certainly misplaced. You see, our vertical relationship is not what it ought to be. Whenever we look around and we see the things of the world and those become far more important to us than God, then we have misplaced our focus. He goes on and he says about boasters. These are empty pretenders. These are people that are braggarts. Well, Proverbs says, don't boast. Don't boast about tomorrow. And then he goes on and he says a fourth thing there, proud. That's having an overestimate of one's worth. Solomon said in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Paul wrote to the Roman church in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, where he said, for I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. as God has dealt each one the measure of faith. And then in John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. A fifth characteristic of last days, he speaks about blasphemers, those given to defiant. In bitter words, they speak evil of God. And you and I hear blaspheming all the time in our culture. And then another characteristic is being disobedient to parents. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, he spoke, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You see, Paul foresaw in his day the breakdown of parental authority. By the time a child reaches the age of 18, he or she has watched some 22,000 hours of television. And you know and I know that television is filled with violence. Television is filled with sex. Television is filled with drunkenness. Television is filled with pornography. And we see where even on some shows where parental authority is ridiculed, you see there is a lack of obedience. There's a lack of respect and loyalty in the home. Why would we think there would be when kids are exposed to so many things? And then he says, in those last days, people will be unthankful. No sense of gratitude for anything one possesses. When Paul was writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, he said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He said to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Another characteristic he speaks about in this text is unholy, which means wicked or profane. It's the state where men lose all regard for decency and shame, and people are governed by their own lustful passions, and they're blind to modesty and decency and purity and righteousness. He speaks about unloving, without natural affection. He speaks about all natural loves here will be lost in the desire to feel the basics, to fulfill the basest and the most perverted of human experiences. He describes the breakdown of the family as abandonment and abuse and abortion and infidelity. And then he moves on to a tenth characteristic, which is unloving, where a person's word is no longer their bond. Truce breakers. It also speaks of those who do not agree with each other. He speaks of slanderers. These are the ones, the unloving ones, the ones that just don't care about love like they ought to. Then he speaks about slanderers or the truce breakers, those who do not keep their word. He speaks about without having self-control, not having the ability to discipline one's own life. You and I live in the world today. If it feels good, do it. That would be the motto of the day. Or they would say, why should I deny myself some pleasures in life? In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul said, all things are lawful for thee, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He speaks about brutal there, which means fierce or untamed or savage. People that will be controlled by their baser instincts. The news media's filled with those examples. He speaks about despisers of good in our world where good becomes evil and evil is good. Let me tell you, those who take a biblical stand will be persecuted and hated by many. You see, the reason prayer got taken out of the schools and the Ten Commandments out of the halls of our schools and our classrooms is and out of prayers is because we as Christians just let it happen. Paul said in the last days there'll be traitors, people that will betray others and break their friendships. They will lie, they will cheat, they will steal, they will crush anyone who dares to get in their way. There'll be no loyalty except to the self. He speaks about the headstrong, those that are reckless and rash, and they act without reasonable thought. This is the person that does as he or she pleases without regard for any consequences. And then he speaks about those that are haughty, the high-minded, the puffed up, with a false sense of their own self-importance. People who think they are better than what they are. These people feel that they have no need for God or for others. They just want what they want. And then he gives an 18th characteristic here. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Let me tell you, you and I are living in a pleasure-maddened society. Paul says that during the last days, wickedness is going to abound. Let me tell you, there will be those, though, that will have a religious atmosphere, but it will be in name only. Let me tell you, since some 70% of Americans claim that they've had a born-again experience, but I'm afraid they're in religious names only. Remember what Jesus said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to heaven, but he that does the will of the Father. Paul goes on in that verse 5, and he speaks about they have a form of godliness but deny its power. And from such people turn away. That word form means a semblance. In other words, they will claim to be good. They will claim to be decent people, but their claim will be false. And so Paul outlines for you and for me the deeds and the deception and the denial during the closing days of human history. He says that people will have an appearance of godliness, but they will deny that power. Here, Paul means that their relationship is not a genuine vertical relationship with Christ. Let me tell you, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul explicitly expressed, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Paul is saying one of these days, last days, people will want the security of a relationship with God, but they want one that refuses his rules to live by. In other words, they will appear religious, but they will be creating their own kind of God that they want, not the kind that they would want, a religion of their own making that would reject the cross and the life-changing experience of the message of salvation and redemption. Well, let me tell you, Paul is writing to Timothy. He admonishes him. He warns him about these last days things. And he speaks about these days that define us, these days that distress us. But there's a third thing. They're days that disturb us. Paul said there'll be a lot of religious people, but he said turn away from them because they're not living according to God's laws. I believe we're definitely living in some of the most precedented and uncertain days that we've ever lived. These are days that are disturbing, but if your heart is centered on Christ, we can stand in the midst of these disturbing days with the living hope and the confidence to know that God is in control of this world. The Bible says he raises up kings and he sets them down. so you and I can live in the confident fact that God is sovereign over all of His creation. During these disturbing days, when earthquakes are certainly intensifying, I read the other day there were 700, I believe, in Utah. That is incredible amount of earthquakes. When you think about the locusts that are decimating crops in Africa and in the Middle East, and how that is threatening food shortages, those are certainly things that the book of Revelation speaks about. We see tornadic activity that is not only in the spring of the year, but now we see it year round. We see viruses and diseases. We see pestilence. I heard someone say last evening on television that the coronavirus is definitely a pestilence. Let me tell you, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know Christ holds tomorrow, and I know He's with you and me till the end of the age. What does all of these things mean that's going on right now in our lives? Well, God has the answer to all of these things. I would encourage us all just to keep looking up. Redemption draws nigh one of these days. God bless you. God bless you for listening this morning. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father God, if there's someone out there today that needs to trust you, that's listening to this service, I pray by faith, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they would reach out and say, Lord, I've sinned and fallen short of your glory. I'm a sinner. You came to die for sinners such as I. Today, Lord, I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want you to come into my heart and life because I know you died on the cross, you shed your blood to cover my sins, and you rose from the dead. You ascended back to heaven, and one of these days you're coming for me. So, Lord, today I confess my sins and I give you my heart. Father God, I pray that someone out there somewhere today has prayed this prayer. And I pray, oh God, that you would move within their heart to find a church home and to get involved and give the Lord all the days of the rest of their life. Father, if there are people out there that have sort of grown cold in their faith, I pray, oh God, it would be a time of renewal, a time of revival, a time to redefine what you would have each one of us to be and do. And God, I want to thank you today for speaking through your word. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We adore you. Thank you, Holy Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've made a decision today to receive Christ as your personal Savior, and I hope that you have, would you please call us here at New Hope Baptist and let us know that you've made that decision. And then I want to encourage you to find you a good church home. We'd love to have you here at New Hope Baptist Church. And I hope for those of you out there today that maybe that you have just turned your heart to Jesus to live a better Christian life and to recommit yourself to do what Christ would have you do in the days to come.